Have you ever been in the grocery store and been in a line behind a transaction that you just didn't understand what on earth was going on and why it was taking so long? And if it was an older lady, you were in the Decatur, Taylorville, or Springfield area, it could have been my grandmother. So here's a little note from one of my cousins. As most of you know, my grandmother passed. I was blessed to be able to do the sermon, or to do the funeral and preside over that. So if you can imagine, you'll start to understand how the thought process came to be. I had another sermon in mind, but this just took over. So as one of my cousins shares, Grandma's has impacted me to be frugal. Now there are different definitions to frugal, and what her definition of frugal and mine vary a bit. I always was proud to be with her when the cashier had to give her money back for the cart full of groceries she had just purchased. But I know now that also that comes with a pretty large cost. A long line, staring eyes behind you in the grocery store. It's not my idea of fun, my cousin adds. So my takeaway from being frugal from Grandma instead would be to always calculate the cost per ounce, never assuming the no-name brand is the best deal. You're going to see a theme with my grandmother. We could have gone the Dave Ramsey route and talked all about money. Here's another cousin sharing something, some memories about their beliefs of our maybe less than traditional family gatherings. And they have this to say. We can't forget about the family gatherings to celebrate a birthday or Christmas like every other family gathering. Ours was filled with good food, great company, and laughter. But I'll bet not all families got to use sporks from KFC that are older than most of the family members or have recycled to-go containers as your plates. Another cousin, we didn't get traditional Christmas gifts or toys from Grandma and Grandpa. We got a box full of surprise, some unlabeled canned goods. Most of the time, the unlabeled canned goods would have permanent marker denoting what they were, if they did that correctly. There would be cereal boxes with a UPC code missing, toothpaste, soap, toilet paper, and other random things that she was able to get by sending in either canned good labels or UPC codes. At the time, as children, we sure didn't appreciate them. As we aged, there were multiple times I found deodorants I didn't even know I liked, but I had them, so I used them. There would be other things, you know, some surprise dinners and likely enough toilet paper for a month. Hey, yeah, everybody goes, right? But the final lesson is where our sermon starts today. It's where my mindset was taken. So it was at one of the later family gatherings. I know this is 10 to 15 years ago. Grandma gathered the six of us grandchildren together. We went into a separate room, and she laid out a deal, a lesson. But I say deal because she tied some money to it. So she asked us if any of us had a will. And I don't mean our own will as what we will ourselves to do. She truly meant that earthly will and disbursement of our properties. Although we were young, we didn't have that many yet. I'm rather certain that none of us had a will in place at that point in our lives. We were all in the workforce by that time, some with kids, but it seemed in our own minds still too young to need a will. Well, Grandma incentivized that. I'm rather certain, I don't know that anybody did not take her up on the offer. I made sure to do my homework, and I got a will in place. Now, yes, I'm being convicted that it is out of date, and I have some work to do on that. So I started a little research on some examples of maybe how I could change it. So I looked at one man named Morris. He died suddenly soon after his 70th birthday. 2 months later, his family is, they're around the desk of the attorney and the reading of the will. The attorney thanks all of them for coming and then reads out Morris's last will and testament. And it goes a little bit like this. I, Morris Levy, being of sound mind, make the following gifts to my beautiful, sweet wife, Rebecca. I leave my house, my Manhattan apartment, and $2 million in cash and shares. Now, the numbers in here, I can nowhere come close to leaving in my will. Change the denominations and cut them in half, we might be able to. But anyway, we go on. Enjoy, darling, he adds to the wife's bestowal of gift. To my handsome and hardworking son, Paul, I leave my Lexus and $800,000 in cash. Keep up the good work, Paul. Well, he's rather encouraging. I hope to take that into my will. To my gorgeous and clever daughter, Suzanne, I leave my Jaguar, $600,000 in cash. I love you, darling Susie. And to my brother, Henry, who always told me in no uncertain terms that health is so much more than wealth, I leave my exercise bike and treadmill. So far out of the two, I probably have a better chance of this second example of a man named Charles, his last will and testament. As it's read, being of sound mind, I spent all of my money. All right, so enough of those, right? So the inevitable has happened. It's crossed my path over this last week. Death happens. The transition from this life to the next, it's an inevitable thing. I've had a loved one pass away. I'm not so certain that I'm sad about it. There's hope. Can I with all certainty say, this grandma never, she lived a life that would make you suspect that belief, but the name Jesus, I can't say as I recall. But that doesn't mean there's not hope. So we move on from there. So as we're called as Christians to grow, and we're called in many places to pray unceasingly, how does that prayer go? Does it take every ordinary, everyday circumstance that then you relate to God? Pretty much. That's how this came to be. So it started with a passage. Thank you, Wes. Wes shared a passage with the missions team, Colossians 1, 9 through 11. Now, I don't know if it was most likely by accident. It wasn't on purpose. So I read 1, 9 through 11 and continued to 14, and wow. But the reason it started the missions team, it was teaching us what things to pray for those who are in the mission field. And it's an absolutely great prayer for that. But you add the circumstances that I was dealing with over the last week and a half, and I read it again and again, and there was a little different take from it. I don't mean to change scripture, but how it hit me and affected me was just a little different than how it started. But nonetheless, it's extremely impactful. So over the last week and a half, this passage, it's got all the checkmark items. It speaks of wisdom. It speaks of a will. Now, not the exact same will, but it speaks of a will and inheritance. Those are all the things you start to reflect on when a loved one's passed. You start to reflect on the wisdom they've passed. You start to reflect on, well, in this case, Grandma encouraged us to make a will, so I had to start thinking about that again. That was one of the memories. And recognizing that she had her own will, that in due time, the inheritance would be passed along. So if you'll join with me as we read from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, I think this will start to come together. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have a great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So as we started out in verse 9, we recognize plainly that Paul is starting this letter to the Colossians, to those who live in Colossae, a prayer. He's sharing the prayer that he's had for them. So how on earth does that come anywhere close to a last will and testament? Well, again, we're starting to look at what God is wanting to share through Paul. So can God actually have a last will and testament? That's another question that came to me. Started to be a distraction because, well, what's the purpose of a will? It's to pass on the belongings after the individual's deceased, which would almost imply that God can't have a will. God will never die, right? Insert song here. God's not dead, he's surely alive. Tag on forevermore. So then I started thinking, well, maybe it could be more like a living will. And that hit a little bit closer. So understanding a living will is similar to a standard will, but adding the individual's thoughts and pre-made decisions upon medical decisions in case they become impaired or unable of sound mind, that they can no longer make those decisions. So once I did that, it started to click. So before too long, we have to recognize two major differences. Just like anything, when you start to go into God's word, compare it to this world, pretty much flips it. So that the one in God's living will, the one unable to make decisions, medical decisions of right mind, it's not him. It never will be. It is us. He's pre-making those decisions for us. He's given us his living will and creating it our living will. Secondly, he wants to start, it's the portion of the inheritance. These are the two things that just get flipped. Just really out of order compared to this world. Out of his will, he wants to bestow to us a portion of the inheritance immediately. Absolutely up front. He doesn't want to withhold everything to the time of his death that there cannot be. It rather becomes the time of our death, our transition. So how can a prayer be remotely considered like a will? As we work our way through the verses, keep in mind that Paul is about to deal with several heresies, so we're not going to put aside the teaching and the history behind the book, but it plays into it. So in this letter, in verses 9 through 14, it seems though Paul is working to keep the attention of those in the church at Colossae. So as he's getting ready to teach them and teach them strongly, he wants to remind them first that the inheritance God has for them. It's their inheritance that has some portion up front with the final proportion coming at the end. And again, there is almost always an opposite when you transition from that, the thoughts of this world, to that of the spiritual world, the world where God lives. And it's the way that he intends it to be in his world, where sin has not corrupted it. As they went over the passage, and again, remembering that Paul wanted to do some corrective teaching, he started out by reminding the saints, the Christians, about the will that God has in place. So God's will can be just like an earthly will that he is bestowing upon his wishes, but it is also an active will. And it's meant for their personal lives as well as every other individual. As we go through, we'll break up some of the thoughts presented and look at the application as how it applied to those in Colossae, to ourselves as well. The knowledge being referenced in the passage in verse 9. So as you see in verse 9, it's mentioning about the knowledge of God. This is not any just general knowledge. It is absolutely meant to be a knowledge that of which can influence decision. More specifically, the knowledge of the will of God for man, specifically stated, is salvation. That's the ultimate will of God for man, is salvation. Okay, that's great. We're grateful for our Savior. But how does that help us to carry out our individual will? And that's where we start to dig a little deeper. As we accept Jesus for ourselves, there become multiple illustrations from the Bible that start to show us what living out that will and how we can then aid others in carrying out this ultimate will that man goes and completes salvation. They themselves would be saved. We go to Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Ephesians 5:17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Well, we're trying to figure that out. That's not extremely helpful, but they did add one thing. We understand we're not to be foolish, which then brings us, if you're not foolish, you have to be wise. If you're wise, you obviously would contain wisdom. Brings us to Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So as we're to use the wisdom from God's Word, drawing out God's principles and living out those by understanding and applying those very principles to our everyday lives. The prayer of other believers, specifically in this case, in this passage, Paul is praying, and it's showing how impactful that prayer can be. He points out and he shows us and highlights that to live a life worthy of the Lord. As we live that life, it's pointed out by the studies I've done, this is a big deal in the New Testament. The life worthy of the Lord is a big deal. It's a key concept, if you will. It's encouraging the believers to give themselves over to the transformation that God has for them in their pursuit of becoming Christ-like. It ultimately refers to that big bowl of fruit salad in Galatians 5:22 through 23. And Paul is illustrating that the good fruit comes from living a righteous life. And the purpose of the fruit we can find in Romans 1:13. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I may have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. Well, he wasn't looking to take their lives, but he was looking for them to be committed to Jesus. That is the harvest being referenced. And that harvest comes from the bearing of the fruit that Paul was being allowed to develop and present. The fruit lived out will lead others to God and will praise God. Hebrews 13:15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that openly profess his name. The fruit lived out will also lead to the giving of money. Romans 15:26 through 28. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owed it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. Paul is praying for and encourages the growth in the knowledge of God. Our spiritual growth cannot and will not occur without our growth in the knowledge of God. Bring some questions to mind. Are you growing? Well, we have some scripture. We're not going to read every last verse. But if you want, you can make notes. If you don't get them all recorded, that's okay. Contact me and I will work on sending those to you. Do you have a taste, a craving for pure spiritual milk? 1 Peter 2:2. This one I'll go ahead and read. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? 2 Peter 3:18. Do you have a deeper love for the Holy Scriptures? Psalm 119:97. Are you living out and growing in obedience to Scripture? 1 John 2:3 through 5. Do you know you have a strong doctrinal foundation? 1 John 2:12 through 15. Do you have a growing faith? 2 Thessalonians 1:3. And do you have a growing love for others? Philemon 1:9. As Paul continues the prayer for the believers to be able to carry out God's will by strengthening of the power of his might, as he continues in the verses, that will definitely bring into play the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit that indwells the believers, reminding and encouraging the believer to seek out that power, the filling of the Holy Spirit specifically in regards to patience and relating to trials that are more circumstance related. You'll notice the two words in there are similar, but they've been differentiated. So you have the patience relating to that of making your way through trials, and then you have one that's compared to enduring, that of difficult relationships with others, to be impactful on behalf of Jesus Christ and sharing his word. Some translations say it is long-suffering, and even though it's a similar meaning, it has a specific individual play in this passage. It differentiates, again, the two types that you're supposed to endure. You're supposed to endure and be patient through those times of trial, but also with those difficult people. We come to verse 12. Qualified. No, they didn't have a great lap time. But this qualified goes way deeper. And it speaks specifically to the inheritance that we are unqualified for, but we have been qualified. Meaning we've been made sufficient, or we've been authorized to receive. This is a reminder that as to explain why we even have the possibility of earning an inheritance from God. May we take this time to remember and to give praise to Jesus Christ, whom through the grace of God offered himself as a perfect sacrifice on our behalf, that we can have any part of the inheritance from God. It is by no other means that you nor I can have any part of that inheritance. Here's the inheritance we do have a part in, all on our own, along with everyone outside of Jesus Christ. We qualify on our own to receive the wrath of God. That is our inheritance without Jesus. But that's not the inheritance that Paul is encouraging. He recognizes their belief, their faith in Jesus. He is encouraging them to remain as he's beginning to fight the heresies, the false teachings that are going around. The inheritance through Jesus will be to each individual as well as to the collective, all at the same time, similar to or intimated in Numbers 26:52-56, when Moses is being taught how to divide the inheritance, the land of Canaan, to the Israelites. So we even see in the opening of this prayer that Paul is starting to address the fear from darkness, the fear of darkness, reassuring the Colossians as well as us that we have been rescued from Satan's dominion. We no longer need to fear that darkness. Jesus took care of that. Paul brings us then to the kingdom of light. It's relatively easy to understand that it's referring to God's kingdom. But if we break it up just a little bit, it just means that much more. Light throughout Scripture refers to divine truth and divine purity. Reference Psalm 119:130 and Ephesians 5:8-14. The place of the inheritance is beyond this world. It is in the spiritual realm where God lives. He himself resides in the place of our inheritance. It's that place of eternity where believers will unite with God, but not exclude the present age of the believers here on earth. You and I still have a portion of that inheritance, and it's through none other than the Holy Spirit. That is how our connection is made. That is how we join the spiritual world even while we're still alive. The Holy Spirit that we received at the time of our belief and trusting in Jesus Christ, the very Spirit that has sealed us for eternity after we've received Jesus. And we progress again to the kingdom of the Son he loves, referring, of course, to none other than Jesus. Refer many times, there are multiple, I'll just give you three, Matthew 3:17. Matthew 12:18, Matthew 17:5. Jesus loves his Father, but his Father absolutely loves his Son. As I was studying, I came across several quotes, one that really seemed to sum up the kingdom of the Son he loves well is from John MacArthur. And it goes something like this. The Father gave this kingdom to the Son whom he loves as an expression of God's eternal love to his Son. So here's where it really expounded to me. So this means that every person the Father calls and justifies is a loved gift from God to the Son. We've been regifted. The best regifting to ever occur. So it's extremely profound a way to think about our relationship with Jesus Christ, recognizing first and foremost that we go to and through him to get to God. But as soon as Jesus has done that part and he gives us freely to God, God gives us freely right back to the very one that paid the penalty on our behalf, to the very one that redeemed us and made it possible that we were to be with God at all. As we come to a close, I recognize that at some time in the future, my grandmother's will be executed. I recognize before you that a will is a valuable earthly document. Thank you, Grandma. As my thoughts started with that of earthly life lessons and future and pending events, my prayer is that we can take the thought of a will and a transaction and transition that to God's will, allowing his will to be executed through our daily lives. We have only touched the surface of reading through his will. All 66 canonical books, I assure you, are there to bring it forth. He wants us to know his will. He wants us to live it and carry it out. He doesn't want us to wait till our transition, our death on this earth. If ever there is a will that we should be excited to have read, it would be that of God's. May God prepare us now to be executors of his will. If you'd like to join me now at this time for time of pastoral prayer, you may come to the altar if you'd like. Heavenly Father, how amazing is your love. Father, you've laid out the plan from the beginning to the end. And you want to share that with us right now. Father, we thank you for your teaching. Thank you, Heavenly Father, we thank you for those others that have struggled in Scripture as they were being taught, and those that could teach them. Father, may we heed those lessons. We recognize that similar struggles still abound. Father, we recognize that you want to live in us. May today be our day of our last will and testament of our own will, may our will be stated that we want to carry out yours. Heavenly Father, we thank you and rejoice for Carol John as she's come back and cancer-free. We celebrate that now. Father, we give you all the glory and credit for it. And we thank you for upholding her and giving her strength to make it to this point. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending us loved ones like Carl. But we recognize that in life things change. And we will miss him, but we pray that you'll watch over him as he goes. Father, may this next step in his life be upheld by your hand. Heavenly Father, we know that there are several who are struggling with sickness, with illness. Heavenly, there are those that are struggling with the burden of family members that are struggling through those things. Father, we pray that you'll lift them up and hold them in your hand. Father, we know that you're the only answer, that you have all the strength to offer the compassion, the support that we need through any situation. We thank you for this, your wisdom today, as we are able to learn and start to grow in what it is to carry out your will. Help us, Father, to be ready to do just that. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all that you've blessed us with and the opportunity to assemble together here today. May your name be glorified through your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. If you'll now stand, we'll sing our closing song. The author of the letter to the Colossians is Paul. If ever there was a man that surrendered his will, his last will and testament when he died to self was, God, I want to carry out your will. From that time forth, we get letters as this that teach us. And I'm telling you, you can read that. Change the time, change the place, it's the same. May today be our day. Because I know sometimes I have to do it weekly. Sometimes there are days I should do it daily, that I need to die to self and rewrite that will. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, may we be yours today. We write our will to you, that our will is to carry out yours. Help us to make that change, I pray, through your Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name. May we walk out and impact this world on your behalf, sharing your love, the love that has brought us to you to start with. It's not meant to stay with us alone. Help us to share that with everyone we come into contact with, whether it's here in the church or outside of these walls. May your church not stay here. May we be ready to go into the world. Lead us through your Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.